Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined for today's microcast by Pat Fitzmaurice. Fitz, it is day three of free agency. I mean, it's technically day one. It sure feels like day three with the tampering period kind of, you know, taking some of the fun out of the actual true start of the league year. But we still got some action today, Fitz. If the first couple of days were about the running backs, today was about the receivers. It was last night, but we're talking about today, Deontay Johnson getting traded, Calvin Ridley signed, Mike Williams was released. We're going to hit on all those talking points here in this microcast. Let's start with the one that happened yesterday, though. Deontay Johnson traded to the Carolina Panthers for cornerback Dante Jackson and a late-round pick swap. Obviously, Deontay Johnson is a guy who already got a ton of targets in Pittsburgh. He's going to get a ton more in Carolina because there's nobody else to throw to. What's your early gauge on where you might rank him and how differently you're going to rank him in Carolina compared to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, so there were rumors that he might be on the move, and indeed they found an eager trading partner that the team that was really just bereft at the wide receiver position needed somebody badly, and this is the possession receiver Bryce Young. Definitely needed. Adam Thielen played that role for a while last year, but he's, what, 33 years old? So this is definitely an upgrade. I don't know that it's an upgrade for Deontay Johnson. I don't know that it's a significant downgrade either. I mean, even with George Pickens there, he was proving to be the more prolific target earner in Pittsburgh. And now he's going to be a major target earner in Carolina. I mean, there was a stretch, a three-year stretch for Deontay Johnson where he had no fewer than 144 targets in any of those three seasons. I think he could potentially, if he stays healthy, be looking at like 160, 165 targets this year. Like, it is going to be an all-you-can-eat target smorgasbord for Deontay Johnson this year. And, you know, but the quality of those targets, we'll have to see, because this is just a start for Carolina. They had nothing for Bryce Young. Like, his supporting cast was awful. They still need to rebuild the offensive line. They still need more pass-catching firepower besides just Deontay. Right now, I think I've got Deontay wide receiver 36 in redraft. So sort of a low-end wide receiver 3.
You know, you mentioned the quality of the targets. This is one of the few, you know, obviously we don't like what we saw out of Bryce Young last year, but this is one of the few quarterback situations to be coming from where Carolina, you can make the case, will be an upgrade, especially considering you bake in some improvement in year two. You talk about bringing in Dave Canales, who has done good work with other kind of cast-off quarterbacks before. Not that Bryce is a cast-off yet, but, you know, this is a guy who has been, to some degree, a quarterback whisperer. So, you know, coming from whatever Russell Wilson is at this point and Kenny Pickett and all that in Pittsburgh, he might be getting an upgrade. He might not. Again, it was really bad last year, but he might be. And I also think that this allows them to go in a couple different directions with those early second round picks that Carolina has. You know, we might see another rookie receiver thrown into the mix as well. And then you start to talk about just building out that receiving core and not putting all on one guy. So there's some case to be made, I think, for Bryce Young as kind of an interesting, like, maybe late round guy in drafts. Do you think that's a reasonable, you know, take to go into draft season with this year? Not that anybody's going to be aggressively or optimistically drafting him, but if they add another rookie, now they have Deontay, is there any juice here?
Yeah, I don't think it's silly to have hope that Bryce Young could potentially be a level jumper in year two. I mean, year one was just so bad, and a lot of people are going to be washing their hands of him after what we saw in his rookie year. But there were moments, Worm. I mean, he put up more than 300 yards on my Green Bay Packers and looked pretty good doing so on Christmas Eve Day last year. So there is hope. It's the Canales hiring was a good one for Bryce Young. Like, Canales is a quarterback whisper, so that's good. Deontay Johnson, that's a start in upgrading this group of pass catchers. So I do think there's hope. I don't think he's going to rise to the level of QB1, but maybe he could be like a back end quarterback too if things fall well for him this year.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. Fitz, I love betting on March Madness. I put $10 on every game of March Madness every single year, just the NCAA tournament, not all the conference tournaments and stuff too. I'm not crazy, but I do bet on all 67 of those games. It's always super fun. I want to ask you about some of the, you know, biggest favorites in the NCAA tournament this year. UConn to repeat, plus 475 on DraftKings. Houston, great defense, great coaching, plus 600. And of course, our mutually hated Purdue, fellow Big Ten team, plus 750. Any of those stand out to you as teams you think can take it home, or are you taking the field?
Oh, man, I don't see any value on Purdue, Worm, because I think they are a little too officiating dependent, and the way people, the way refs handle Zach Edey. I know Purdue fans don't like to hear that. It's hard to go against UConn, man. They are just so good and so battle-tested. Like, they can beat you every which way, inside, outside, great defense. Danny Hurley's a great coach.
I was going to say, man, like, as a Maryland guy, I really hate, you know, Danny Hurley, but what a program he's built just in this last couple of years. Just behemoth, absolute behemoth.
And they're battle-tested. They played a really tough schedule, so they're going to be ready for March.
Yeah, yeah. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code FANTASYPROS. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code FANTASYPROS. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. One no-sweat bet per new customer. Issued as one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/promos for deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Fitz, probably the biggest signing of the day, not probably, the biggest signing of today was Calvin Ridley, 4 years, $92 million with not the Jaguars, not the Patriots, the Tennessee Titans. This was both a big signing and, to me at least, a pretty big surprise. What were you kind of taken aback by this like I was?
I was, and you know, as some people have mentioned on Twitter, this was the franchise that balked at the possibility of giving $100 million over 4 years to A.J. Brown a couple of years ago, and now they're giving nearly that much to Calvin Ridley. So, yeah, that was a surprise. I mean, I did not think he was going to break the bank like that. I didn't know if any of the receivers were, especially in a with a draft class so rich in wide receiver talent.
Yeah, that's really the thing. We talked about it a lot, you know, even on the Dynasty show when previewing free agency was, why not just go draft a rookie? I mean, this class is so stacked and it's so much cheaper to do that. And, you know, Ridley, I think there's still a lot of talent there. But, you know, it was an up and down season last year. It's been a few years now since he was truly an elite wide receiver, either for fantasy or for, you know, in real life. And now he is going to play with the least certain quarterback situation he's played with in his career. I mean, where are you ranking him in your early thoughts going into 2024?
Oh, man. And unless the Titans do something with DeAndre Hopkins, it is going to be really tricky to figure out where these guys are. Right now, I've sort of given them like a placeholder. I need to think about this more and figure out how I think it's going to go. But right now, I've got Ridley and Hopkins, wide receiver 39 and wide receiver 40. They are twinsies in twinsie wide receiver fours. So, and this really obviously doesn't bode well for Treylon Burks. I don't think there's much hope of a breakout for him with Hopkins and Ridley around. Maybe the one ray of sunshine for Burks is that this might allow the Titans to move him back into the slot where he did his best work at Arkansas in college. Yeah. But this is it's an interesting move. Not the best landing spot for Ridley. You would have liked to see him go with more of a more proven quarterback. But if there's going to be something that's going to help Levis, I mean, this should do it. Not only, Worm, does he have an excellent pair of wide receivers now, veteran playmakers, this allows the Titans to just totally focus on the offensive line with their number seven pick overall. Like, I'll be really surprised if that's not Alt from Notre Dame. Like, maybe there's a chance they could go for Brock Bowers, but that seems like it would just be overkill on the pass catchers for a team that really needs line help.
Yeah, if Alt ends up going earlier too, like, the class is so loaded, Fashanu would be great. You know, there's a lot of options that they can take with that early pick. What do you think this does for... Well, actually, first let me say, the Titans in general... Tony Pollard, now they have these two veteran receivers. There's a lot more talent than, you know, maybe Treylon Burks, for example. No Derrick Henry, and again, the offensive line still needs work, but maybe some hope. The pieces are in place around Will Levis for him to succeed if he has it in him.
Yeah, I mean, they do have skill position talent now, but it's a lot of weight on Will Levis's shoulders. He's got to be the guy to make this whole thing work. And, that offensive line is still in a state of disrepair.
What do you think this does to Gabe Davis? Because I think there was some thought that, well, maybe that signing makes a lot more sense in Jacksonville if he is still going to be playing, you know, kind of behind Calvin Ridley. Now that Ridley's not there, what kind of impact do you think that has on a guy who couldn't figure it out completely in Buffalo with a great quarterback?
Yeah, I still wonder what kind of a target earner he's going to be. Like, we saw Evan Engram catch more than 100 balls last year, and I think Ridley's departure only enhances Engram's fantasy status. I think it's probably a good thing for Christian Kirk that Ridley is gone. Davis just hasn't been able to be a prominent target earner. He's kind of had that George Pickens problem we were just talking about. But I think with Pickens, there's a solution, and that's Deontay Johnson moving on. I don't know if Ridley leaving Jacksonville necessarily means a lot of targets for Gabe Davis. I think it's probably going to be more of the same, boom or bust, week to week.
Yeah. Let's quickly wrap up with some thoughts on Mike Williams. Obviously, just been injury riddled really for his whole career. Really talented guy, obviously has the, high pick pedigree, has had some nice years, but again, just can't seem to stay on the field. Last season, also cut short with injury. He was released by the Chargers. They were in, a really desperate position to become cap compliant. You know, by the start of the league year, they were able to do it by releasing him and saving a ton of money on their cap. Do you think, where do you think Mike Williams might land? Obviously, it's still early in kind of that thought process. And B, do you think this makes the Chargers even more likely to go after a receiver with that number five overall pick?
Yeah, it's interesting to think about what the Chargers might do. I could see that being the landing spot for Malik Nabers. Keenan Allen is not young. Quentin Johnston, pretty alarming what we saw from him as a rookie. I can't possibly
trust him.
Yeah, it is hard to trust him, and maybe getting rid of Mike Williams offers a little bit of hope for him to, but that hope would probably be dashed if they took Malik Nabers. So, I think that means there's a chance. As for where Williams could land, maybe the Patriots. They have a lot of money. They have a need at wide receiver, and I think they were reportedly in the hunt for Calvin Ridley. So maybe Mike Williams could be their consolation prize. But
I'll be curious to see if he opts for more of a, let me prove to everyone that I still have it and can stay healthy for a season and go play with like the Chiefs or the obvious one everybody throws every good receiver at. The Bills have a need there. The Ravens. I mean, any one of these contenders, you know, the varying degrees of cap maneuverability between those teams. But any of these contenders, if the Bengals end up trading T. Higgins, they could sign him. That I think I wouldn't be surprised necessarily. If he goes and just gets a bag and is like, let me make as much money as I can, like, I will not blame him, obviously, like, go do that. But I wonder if, considering the sort of futility, you know, the futile seasons he's played in Los Angeles, if he might enjoy the draw of an actual contender.
Oh, man, those are fun potential landing spots. Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, great ones. But, man, like, how about just a team with a really good training staff? Because we need to keep this guy healthy. Yes. Like, he's so talented. I mean, he was a big favorite of our friend, the late, great Mike Tagliere. Really talented dude who just has not been able to keep it together for a whole year. Like, early in his career, he, you know, one year he had really good yardage, couldn't get into the end zone. Then he had like a 10-touchdown season and the yardage wasn't there. Then it's just been injury after injury after injury. I mean, I would love to see this guy play 17 games and see what he could do.
Yeah, I don't remember which team in the, they did that like players poll and those results were released a couple weeks ago. I don't remember which team was voted by the players as the best training staff, but that's my landing spot for Mike Williams. Let's get him to wherever they will keep him on the field. We'll get out of there on that. Day four tomorrow, if there's enough news that it's warranted, will be Joe and D-Bro with the Microcast. Thank you everybody for tuning in all week long, really, to all of our coverage. We, you know, it's a very busy week, but it's a very fun week and kind of, you know, reignites the football, you know, just excitement after the early stages of the offseason. So for Fitz, I am Ryan Wormley. Thank you everybody for tuning in, and we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts at fantasypros.com/review or on Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.